be good.
Our speaker is Gina. She is a wife and mother of three young men. She and her husband, Greg, are childhood sweethearts, still in love, and have been married for 36 years. Wow. They have been at Lighthouse for 12 years now. Gina loves serving and discipling younger women, loves fitness, walks on the beach, doodles, Americanos, and huge salads. So let's give Gina a warm welcome up as she comes to share.
Thank you. Is this, are we on? Okay. Now that I'm here and I see so many men serving, I feel bad because I told my husband he couldn't come. So I brought him. There is joy in the journey. Do you choose joy, or does joy just happen? Do you find joy in something you already have, or something that you are in hope of having? Do you remember Marie Kondo, the Japanese organizing consultant? She had her own Netflix show, Spark Joy with Marie. If she had an article of clothing or anything that gave her joy, she'd keep it, she'd enjoy it, she'd organize it, have a special place for it, and store it until she could use it again. Once the item no longer had a purpose or gave her joy, she'd look at it and say, "Thank you for the joy you gave me. Now you're out." Joy or happiness? What is that to you? If you were here a couple Sundays ago, we heard about joy. So bear with me while I walk through how we can find joy in our journey. I want us to look at a different joy, true joy. We all may have different feelings or definitions of joy, so let's define the difference between happiness and joy. Let's begin with happiness. Happiness is an attitude of satisfaction or delight based on a circumstance or something that happens by chance. This something may or may not happen. You may get that job offer. You might buy a house in Torrance. You may get pregnant. You might have that new relationship. You might lose those last 5 pounds, or whatever those things are, they may or may not happen for you. They are all related to possible happenings. So let's use that as our definition. It's that attitude of satisfaction or delight based on a circumstance or something happening by chance. Now, we can look up the definition of joy in the dictionary. It would most likely be a worldly definition and look very similar to happiness. Our culture today tends to redefine words, so it's really hard to go there. The culture wants to make everything comfortable and not offensive. So for us to talk about true joy, we need to look at biblical definitions of joy. Joy is not a spark or an emotion. It's not mustering up a happy face in spite of life's challenges. You can have a smile or a happy face, but not always. Joy in the biblical sense should first be related to God and the gospel. For a Christian, we must know this is something we have in Christ. It does not happen by chance, nor is it a passing delight. Here is our definition of joy. Joy is a gift, a permanent possession from Christ. It is a deep down peace and confidence that all is well, no matter the circumstance, no matter what difficulty, no matter what problem, and that is very different from happiness. As Christians, we can know true and lasting joy. When we understand joy, it will change our mindset from putting our hope in happenings. In God's joy, we will find joy in our journey. So let's look at this true joy. Where does it come from? How do we get it? What does it look like? In the Bible, there are around 430 verses on joy, joyful, rejoicing, depending on your versions. And there are great books written on joy too. Two of my favorites, I put them in your notes. One of them is When I Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy by John Piper. Intense, but very good. Or the other one is On the Go Devotional Joy. It's by Lydia Brownback, who, by the way, as a plug, she will be our speaker at our women's conference this fall. But it's a little book, but don't let that fool you. The principles in there are awesome. They're really exciting. But what I want to share today is a sentence I had heard from John MacArthur, and this came from his Theology of Joy. And I'll break it down for you, but it just really resonated with me. I surveyed several women, several Christian women, young and old, and asked them, how do they choose joy? What is joy to them? And this sentence kind of summarized all the things that they shared with me. So here's the sentence, and this is in your notes. Joy is a gift from God to those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, being produced in us by the Holy Spirit as we receive and apply God's word within our trials and as we set our hope on future glory. So first, joy is a gift from God. So let's go to the very beginning on that first day when the angel appeared to announce the arrival of the birth of Christ. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today the Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord." The gospel is the beginning, and that brings joy to the human heart. That's why we need to begin with Christ and end with Christ. In Psalms 4, 7, and 8, it says, "You put joy in my heart. In peace I will lie down and sleep. You make me abide in safety." And then in Psalm 16:11, it says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever." So first, joy is a gift. Like the gospel, it's a free gift. Besides it being a gift, we will see how joy is a double gift with the gift of peace. Joy and peace go together like peanut butter and jelly. So speaking about peace, think about the last time you couldn't sleep, or you couldn't stay focused on in the present because there was something you were focusing on and you continue to think about it because you were trying to make something work or fix or control a certain outcome. And then all of a sudden you look at the clock and it's 3 a.m. Or if it's during the day, you missed an appointment. That anxiousness is a lack of peace. So as Christians, we need to take pause and remember and acknowledge God's word says he has put the fullness of joy in our hearts. It is his presence. It's the presence of God that can help us feel safe, bring that peace in his arms. And that's where we find his joy and peace. This joy is a gift and it's been given to you and you can choose to use it. I'm going to give you a very simplistic example of choosing to use a gift. When I got married, probably like many of you, you registered for household items, right? And you may have got duplicates of things, but for a wedding shower, a bridal shower. But you get all these things and you store them, put them in your kitchen in their appropriate places. And then one of the first nights, it's time for you to cook. One of those first meals. You get out your pan. You're so excited. It's brand new and shiny. You add your olive oil. You mince up a little bit of garlic. And then you go and grab your tomato paste, right? You're going to put that in there. It's a can. It doesn't have an open top. You can't open it with your hands. Even a knife won't open it. So what do? Do you just say, "Oh well, we're not having dinner tonight"? That won't happen. That wouldn't happen in my house. No, you get up, you walk over to your utility drawer, you pull out that one can opener that was a gift, you take it and you open your can and you make your sauce. You have the ability to choose to use the gift that you were given. Now, I know it's elementary. However, that very concept parallels with when God gives you a gift and when you put your trust in him, he will give you the ability to use it. And I know in life, ladies, there are a lot more complicated situations. And it's not always easy to make that choice. And I do not intend to minimize anyone's situation. But we do need to remember every good gift is from God and has its purpose. And God has given us the gladness and joy, that fullness of joy, so we can put our trust and security in him. Here's another one of my favorite quotes about joy. It says, "Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of the details of my life. It's that quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice is to praise God in all things." So first, joy comes from God. And secondly, it comes to those who believe in the gospel, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Complete. Not half full, not partially, not sometimes, but completely. Christ came to proclaim a gospel that would give men joy. The noun joy is in the New Testament 59 times. The verb rejoice, the action is where we get choosing joy. This joy is in the New Testament 74 times. Just say it. Must be important. As Christians, we are who we are because of the gospel. And I have to go back and say, if you're visiting today for the first time, thank you for being here. It takes a little bit of time to understand what the gospel of being a Christian is. So bear with me and we'll go through it and you'll learn it. But honestly, the gospel just means good news. And the good news is that there is a God that loves you and loves me. And he sent his son Jesus to die on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to. Plus, we get to know God personally and live the full life and experience this joy that I'm talking about. Also, part of that good news is God's face is always turned towards you. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you've been, how many mistakes you've made, because believe me, I've made a huge share of mistakes myself, and probably more than you because I'm much older. Regardless, God loves you and is turning your direction right now. So, back to those who do call themselves Christians and believe this. The rest of you will talk to you more. If you want to know more about Jesus, please come see me or the friend that brought you. We'd love to share more. But those of you who call yourself Christians, we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, especially when we don't feel like it, because that is when our faith will grow. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in him." Ladies, rejoice today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for the day after. And I get it. For some of us, it's very difficult to rejoice even in the daily monotonous routines. And for others, life is filled with crises and losses. And you just can't even find that feeling of being able to choose to rejoice. Maybe it's an unanswered prayer. Maybe you're single and another friend is out announcing their engagement. You're unemployed, a friend gets a promotion. Maybe your friend's having a baby, or in my case, my friend's having her fourth grandchild. Sounds easy to celebrate a baby, right? But let me tell you, I've been blessed with three boys of my own. However, each of them have a permanent disability of autism. So it's mostly likely that they will never get married, nor have children. Meaning, I will never have grandchildren. So every time a friend announces their children are having babies, I simultaneously get to choose joy and celebrate that birth while still feeling a loss and a hole in my heart too. That is that quiet joy that I get to choose. And I celebrate with my friends because of this joy. I remember Christ himself is my gift. And with that comes everything I will ever need. Like Adrian mentioned, Greg and I have been at Lighthouse for 12 years now. And when we first came, we talked with the elders and the staff, and they wanted us to come alongside them to help them start a disability ministry. And that is our bridge ministry here at Lighthouse. And that what we do is we provide shadows for our bridgers, is what we call them, and so their parents can go to church, and we do bridge activities. We call them blessings during the week. We have conferences for other churches to help them know how to start ministries, and we have care groups for our caregivers. Anyhow, we have been blessed to be a part of that from the ground up. We felt like bridge ministry has been our baby, you know. By God's grace, A couple months ago, I received a text from Pastor Kim. He'd spoken at another church who sent their pastor and staff to one of our conferences. And unbeknownst to him, they had already started their own bridge ministry that was growing and thriving. And so he texted me, and this was a gift from the Lord. He said, "Gina, if bridge is your baby, just know you now have multiple grandkids out there as well that are loving well families affected by disability." So whether we are in a boring routine or in a painful situation and you don't know how to accept it, you are exactly where God wants you to be. The God who created this world and everything in it, He has ordained our days. So when we feel like we can't rejoice, we have to stop and ask ourselves, why are we choosing to reject God's providence? Do we really believe we have better plans than He? I know I had to ask that myself. So joy comes from God. It comes to those who believe in the gospel, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." We have the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate, that He may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it does not see or know Him. But He abides in you." He abides in us. The Holy Spirit is abiding in us in order for us to experience peace and joy. We need to choose self-surrender a lot of times to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in all those difficult situations. We don't need to dig deep, find the strength. You know, people like say, come on, you put on a smile, pick up your chin or whatever. We don't need to do that. We just need to step aside and let the Holy Spirit work in us, and He will produce His fruit. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and everything else." Another example of peace and joy together. So joy comes from God. It comes to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit, and for as we believers receive and apply God's word. Here we go again. There's another opportunity to choose to get into God's word, to read it, receive it, and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. The action is really clear in Jeremiah 15, 16. It says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became joy and gladness in my heart." 1 John 1, 4 says, "And these things I'm writing, God's word is being written to us so that our joy may be made full." It's right here again and again. We have joy when we receive it, hear it, trust it, and apply it. We get to experience the gift and the fullness of joy. So joy comes from God. It comes to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit as we receive and apply God's word. And fifth, and it's tied with trials. This is the part you've probably been waiting for, because you're sitting there saying, yeah, yeah, Gina, choose joy. You don't walk in my shoes. You don't have the trials that I have. I don't have the capacity, whatever it is. And it's not as easy as opening up a can of tomato paste. I hear you. But here's the hard truth, ladies. True joy cannot be fully experienced or known until it's contrasted with suffering, trials, sadness, sorrow, and even loss. You know, even as little girls, we've all either seen Disney movies or read the stories about the sweet princesses and the evil witch, right? And she's mean and scary, but then the prince or the seven dwarfs or the purple dragon come in and save the day. Good overcomes evil. No, seriously, with the contrast of sadness and sorrow, we can't experience the true joy. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." The verse begins with sorrowful, meaning you're currently sad or you're going to be going through something really difficult. But choose joy. And then the infamous James 1, 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Consider means choose joy. 1 Peter 1, 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while you have been distressed by various trials." The Apostle Paul was one of the most joyful men in the Bible. Picture this. He was shipwrecked, in prison, beaten, starving, thirsty, stripped, stoned, and so much more. In itself, not a picture of joy. But he continued to say, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. From prison, he wrote letters of encouragement to his churches he was ministering to. He focused on encouraging others in his suffering. He began his letters saying, grace and peace to you, and I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering a prayer of joy in my every prayer for you. He's one of my heroes of faith. Another lovely hero is Johnny Erickson Tata, and she says, God sometimes allows the very things he hates to accomplish that which he loves. Johnny is a 75-year-old quadriplegic. She suffered spinal injury at age 17 from a diving accident. She suffered through cancer twice, COVID multiple times, lost most of her lung capacity. She's unable to change positions on her own when her back hurts, or she can't even reposition to cough. She can't take a Tylenol on her own or rub her lips if she's itchy without a caregiver. In her suffering, God has used Johnny for over 58 years as a speaker, worked with the government. She's the founder and CEO of Johnny and Friends. She's brought hope through the gospel and a wheelchair to people all around the world, where people with disabilities are forgotten or worse, treated like a curse. In the U.S., she started family camps affected by disabilities and for wounded veterans and their families suffering isolation. In spite of her own isolation and suffering, she understands the despair as well as God's joy at the same time. And she longs to share that with others. God uses her story for others to increase their capacity and our capacity to trust and love him. Not at all do I compare myself with these heroes. But if you know me, you know my life has been filled with contrasting realities. For those of you who don't know, this has been one of the most difficult years of my life. I lost my dad to cancer. 3 months later, I lost my mother-in-law, who are with Jesus now, praise God. My mom has the onset of dementia, and she and I have had a lifetime of difficulties. A few weeks ago, my family and I helped move her to an assisted living in North Carolina near one of my brothers. My other brother has been suffering cancer. My sister just got a divorce. And for over 30 years, we have had the weight of the future care of our sons with autism. Our young men will never be able to care for themselves independently. We have asked ourselves regularly, who is going to? And it's not the concern of most parents, but it's been ours. Who's going to take care of Tyler and Tate and even Zach? This has been the greatest weight on our shoulders as parents and on our marriage. So, joy is a gift from God to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit as we receive and apply God's word, as it is tied with our trials, and lastly, as we set our hope on future glory. I think this verse in Romans 12:12 best describes it. Rejoice in hope, persevering in affliction, being devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. Endure with joy now, ladies, because you know the joy of the Lord is to come. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Finally, after 50 years of a contentious relationship with my mom, God's grace has made it sweeter than ever. We actually have a mother-daughter relationship now. That was hard. Joy does come in the morning. Another answer to prayer after 30 years, now this is a big one, our boys have a place at the Brookwood community in Houston, Texas. Brookwood is a Christian nonprofit organization that has been committed to loving and changing the mindset of people with disabilities for over 40 years. It's a community that provides purpose and dignity in a long-term residential work, recreation, family community in a God-centered environment. Greg and I can rest now knowing that when we go home to be with the Lord, our boys will be taken care of. So sometimes choosing joy and rejoicing is long-suffering. and so much in the future and very unseen at times. So joy is a gift from God to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, being produced in them by the Holy Spirit as we receive and apply God's word with our trials as we set our hope on future glory. I'd like to close with this verse in 1 Peter 1:8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ladies, we can choose joy and set our hope on the future, God's glory.